Blog Talk Radio.
You're live with Jane Hoffman, and John is with us too. Good evening, Don and John.
Good evening, Jane.
Greetings, oh Hammer.
Or should I say Don Juan?
Yes, indeed.
Okay, so I came across something really interesting right before the show. I Googled, what if a Christian army would be gathered that would cross national borders? And tonight's topic is really, I wanted to start out with a verse from Lamentations, but I can get to that in a minute, or maybe a little later in the show. But Assyrian Christians in the Nineveh Plains, with the help of a group of Americans, a nonprofit group that are funding them, are building a fighting machine to stand toe-to-toe with the Islamic State to preserve their homeland. They're better known as Syrian Christians, but their acronym is NPU, Nineveh Plains Protection Unit. It's a battalion of 300 to 500 men trained by the Sons of Liberty International, an American group, and the founder is Matthew Van Dyke, in which two of his friends were those people who were beheaded, James Foley and Stephen Soteloff. I'm sure you remember James Foley. He might have been more prominent than Steve Soteloff. What they're basically doing is they're fighting in the somewhere in the middle of Syria and Iraq, and they're fighting on a religious-based historical premise. They're not really necessarily attached themselves to a country, and the Iraqi government is also helping fund it. The reason I thought about this is because, did you notice how the news called the Kenyan killings a soft target this week, meaning they didn't take down the Nairobi consulate this time like they did in 96? A soft target is considered not such a, you know, a threatening target like the government center or some other place, but it's a place that has less security and isn't considered that dramatic of a killing if they have to classify it that way. Would anyone like to comment?
Let's give Don's input. I think that would be really cool.
All right, well, one of these days we're going to get John's input first. But right now, yeah, for the most part, okay, if that's an overnight news event, then that's something that I haven't looked at. But in terms of Boko Haram, they have, they're killing their own people only because they can, and that's a to cleanse them of the Western religion, the Western lifestyle, anything that has to do with pretty much America and its allies. Boko Haram is a smaller version right now of ISIS.
Well, Boko Haram's in Nigeria and Al-Shabaab's in Somalia, and it was Al-Shabaab
right.
who killed the Kenyans.
Okay. See, they're all into this, they're crossing borders to kill each other, and that's just a sign of pretty much social unrest, complete.
It is
Civil
because
War,
these this time they killed Christian college students from ages 19 to 22,
right.
and in Nigeria, innocent people are dying on a daily basis in different villages by Boko Haram, who also they were unsuccessful, but they tried to sabotage Nigerians' elections that took place this week. So I guess we don't have to know all the facts, even though I do, but the fact...
Okay.
The fact of the matter is...
You don't...
I'm making a joke. The world is shifting, and a lot of the commotion has to do with religious. And, you know, technically, there's only been nation states since the mid-1600s. It's only been around 500 years before it was organized by religious duchies and, like, religious provinces. So, and the Catholic Church also controlled a major part of Europe up until the nation state. So maybe we're going back into, like, these religious commonwealths that are controlled by religious dominant forces.
I wish we could, but the Internet has too much to play. They're too strong right now. So they won't allow us to go into duchies again. We're going full-scale global, and that's where we have to make sure we as a people, a freedom-loving people, have to try to maintain our freedoms no matter
what.
Who the
hell is a freedom-loving people anymore? The Democrats and Republicans don't even act like humans.
They're not, that's because they're the same. They're the same automaton. You know, there's still portions in California that are relatively free and easy. But, you know, this panacea that people are looking at, especially when it comes to religion. How many people are in the world and how many religions? Just 3 billion religions. That's the way it is in many...
Well, I do have a fun fact for you after I let John talk, but NBC did that special on the Bible last year, and I guess like 80% of Americans tuned in, and this one preacher from Washington, D.C., who was on NPR today, said that people are hungry for spiritual TV shows. They may not be attending church, but they're hungry to watch, not necessarily just Christian shows, because someone just did a major documentary on Scientology. But, John, does someone have a radio or television on?
No,
I was going to say, actually, I had a neighbor knock on the door. Maybe that was them, possibly, because they were just asking me a question. But this is live radio. I've always said to people that God's given people the right to take a swing at me. And God's given me the freedom to try and duck or run or block it. And I don't advocate violence. I do support people though protecting themselves. And I think if there are people on the planet who are going to be reckless, not respect other people, and they start getting kind of animal about stuff, I think you kind of reap what you sow. So myself, I'm the kind of person I would run or avoid conflict or try to negotiate it. That's just the way I am. I'm 5'7", 140 pounds. I'm not the guy who walks into the bar and wants to intimidate people. I've survived, you know, growing up being a small person, you learn how to negotiate or duck or hide.
Well, what if you were a Christian in Syria and your country had been at civil war for 5 years and somebody asked you to join the Nineveh Plains, which was a Christian organization.
Kind of to that point, if anyone that's, you know, family or friend or peaceful is being attacked, I will not sit there quietly and go, oh, will you please stop killing and beheading people? I'll go very animal on it. And because I think there's a certain point where you have to stand up for what's right and for what's just. That being said, again, I want to promote peace and I want to promote love and forgiveness on the planet. But when a person steps out of that parameter, not able to be a human being, not able to negotiate properly and to respect other people, they lose that right with me. In other words, like it's kind of like when a person's driving 110 down the middle of the street and the cops get out and they go, you know, ape crazy on them. Yeah, they shouldn't do that, but you know what? That person has told us he doesn't give a freak about society or other people or their safety. And at that point I go, you know, I really don't care that much about their rights either. You know, I'm just saying you bring it on yourself. So when
it's
people
funny
start,
you mention that. You want to hear something really crazy? It's funny you mention that.
I call it kind of a forfeiture of rights, you know, when you start to act in, you know, just a crazy way and disregarding society. My society, I basically disregard their rights, you know. But, I mean, I'll try to protect them, but, you know, if they lose a little on the side, they didn't get their Miranda rights, you know, spoken to properly. I don't know. I'm not that much of a legal on this kind of stuff.
Well, we are getting a thank you. I wanted to tell you something interesting I learned on CNN today, and then I'll go back to this Matthew Van Dyke guy. In Norway, the max sentence you can get for any crime is 21 years, and that Anders guy who killed all those youth kids at a youth camp in Norway about 5 years ago, he killed 70-some youth, and he only got 21 years in prison.
I would as a sentence, I would allow him to be released in the middle of a field, and I give all the relatives any weapon they choose, and they have an hour to take care of business. If he can make it out of that, you know, hey, maybe he deserves a shot at a...
It wouldn't take long.
No,
well,
it wouldn't. Just
I want to ask
person,
you guys your geopolitical opinion on this. So this Matthew Van Dyke guy... I think he lived in Iraq for 3 years. I don't know if he's a former soldier. But he said the Christian community in Iraq has been pushed around for a long time and it needs to stop. And I have the right connections and experience to be able to pull something together to help them. So he lived there 3 years and then he started asking field questions and he asked anyone who was fighting ISIL exactly. Then he met with leaders who were talking about putting an army together and starting a secret training facility. So this is like a international-style military body that just started up on its own. And is that a danger to America, even if they're fighting for the right reasons? Don?
Yeah, that's a good scenario, a difficult scenario to figure out. I'm sure, you know, in every speech, President Obama never envisioned necessarily mercenary armies helping the United States in a religious faction entanglement. That's not something that he meant when he asked for allies' help, aid in the Afghani and Iraqi debacles, if you will. That's my opinion. But for the most part, I personally see some very, very difficult issues and problems with it, with non-communication, battlefield stratagem that is opposed.
The technology,
or
they probably don't have it together.
No, the technology is there. Everybody has access to the same technology, virtually the same technology.
Well, John, do you think that it's a danger to have a ragtag mercenary army trying to assist what they said in the beginning of the article is they're trying to fill in the gaps where other governments have failed?
Right. Well, you know, it is dangerous, but on the other hand, you know, we're talking about people getting killed, beheaded, and
we're
massacred.
Yeah.
And just in general, they're responding to basically, you know, aggression and violence and force. So they're taking force to meet force. Now, as a Christian, now here's the thing where people kind of tend to get confused is like, as a Christian. Yeah, I forgive, turn the other cheek. But as a government leader, as a politician, as a warrior, a soldier, that kind of person, their responsibility is to restore peace and to bring order, or otherwise you have chaos or anarchy. So whatever, if the government doesn't step in and handle that, people on the streets are going to take care of stuff. I mean, like if someone's outside of Don's house or your house, and they've got a gun and they're busting into your windows, am I going to, you know, I'll call 911, but if the cops don't show up, guess what? I'm getting my baseball bat, or if I have a gun, or whatever I have. You know, it's, you've got to protect yourself. And that just goes, that's just fundamental as a human being. It's not a Christian angle. It's a human being angle of survival and respect and of living. So, yeah, I would say, you know, if no one steps in and takes care of it, these things are going to pop up. Do I like it? No. But do I think it's necessary? In their situation, who could tell them no, right?
Don.
Right, and that's what I,
well, the other thing is, you guys, go ahead, Don.
No, that's what I say. That's a difficult one because there. This is a, and I, you know, if you heard me a couple weeks ago, you know that I am looking at these situations in all hands. I mean, the United States, when they came over, imagine if the Indians could speak
right.
English, they'd probably call them ISIL. So, you know, you're looking at the Pilgrims being ISIL. And this is something that is a pertinent analogy. So it's difficult to say if you want, I don't know if it's a Christian militia, but if you want a militia that is going to fight against ISIL and not under the auspices of the of some regulations or communications with the United States and its allies, hopefully, then they can be a hindrance. They can be a burden and a danger.
Oh, yeah.
And if their ideology, what happens, you know, and everyone, no one looks at exit strategy. No one. And what happens if ISIL has been destroyed and the next thing you know,
even the Matthew Van Dyke said they can't be fully destroyed.
Well, I'm talking about the militia. The militia, once Matthew Van Dyke has been killed in some way or form, will then take over a life of its own and could, in fact, be as strong or stronger than an ISIL with a head who had been trained in ISIL. And you're, you know, it's like a woman with a gun. Assemblywoman Michelle Fiore says, you know, she could have saved herself. Every burglar is, or rape is deterred because a woman has a gun. Yeah, right.
Well,
John
was close to the both of you are both on target. John's conception was very close to what's really going on there. Matthew Van Dyke said when the Kurdish Peshmerga withdrew from the area, the people of the Nineveh Plains community were left to be killed or kidnapped. A lot of their women were kidnapped and used as sex slaves and jihadi brides, Van Dyke said. When they were protected, it has often been as a result of a deal worked out with another authoritarian regime, and giving them the means to defend themselves allows them to be more independent. Well, eventually it is going to fruition into some type of situation where the Christian militia gets killed or harmed, or the ISIS retreats and maybe goes into another area, because lately ISIS has retreated and there's a full-scale civil war going on in Yemen, and now the Saudi regime has been attacking them from the border, and they're much stronger than ISIS. So, but
we certainly know that just violence is not going to achieve what we want. But there is a concept that all peace is achieved through war, and that it's rarely that you negotiate it, that every country, you look at it historically, of United States, Russia, China, wherever, basically someone at some point has tried to go into those countries and take over or assume power, and the nation's risen up and taken it by force. In fact, we did take this land from the Indians. And historically, it's over time where you try to reestablish who was the good guy and who was the bad guy. You know, at the time it seemed like, hey, is our just cause, and now a lot of people look back and go, man, we really ripped off the Indians on this deal. But I think we might get to a point like my dad. His theory was everyone should just have rent-a-cop. You know, the police don't really work for you, so you hire your own cop on your block. He's your guy, and he takes care of justice. Now, I know that's vigilante. I know it gets corrupt.
That sounds like a gang to me, like the Crips and the Bloods.
Yes, yes. But, you know, at times, you know, he's a farm boy. And so
it sounds like the old Chicago political machine.
There you go. That's another one I was thinking about, too.
Well, remember the Wild Wild West, you know? You'd have this crazy town, and you know, here comes the sheriff, new sheriff in town, and establish order. It certainly shows us that human behavior over the years doesn't really change. It's like, you know, people are like sheep. And there are wild, crazy folks out there, like wild dogs, and you have to have good people, strong leaders, strong authority that come in and set order. Now, here's the problem I see is when people will do anything just for peace. And that's what the peace and safety and then sudden destruction, that's what the end times, the beast is all about. Everyone says, listen, I'll just give up all my rights, just give me peace and feed me, and I'm cool. And there's a compromise in that. And, you know, are we willing to pay that cost, freedom, I mean, peace at any cost? Something to consider.
Well, since it's a national, I mean, not a national, but it's a Christian
California
holiday today.
Happy
that
Easter.
Was a nice, John, I liked your comment about that reminder of the end times on how people will sacrifice their loyalty for comfort. But I would like to segue into two things. Maybe we have several people. Well,
that's the human way, though, to sacrifice loyalty. Comfort.
He's talking
about
like, the beast and buying things on a card and when people are going to be at gunpoint and have to decide between Christ and a meal, what are they going to pick?
Well, the thing is, the transcendency, the hierarchy of transcendency doesn't include material things. It's really, it's about transcendence to the spiritual realm. And that leaves behind all of these burdens of material things. But go ahead, I'm sorry.
Well, okay, I have two questions left because, first of all, John is strapped for time tonight because of tax season. We have several people running for office. Ted Cruz announced his candidacy at Liberty University, which is Jerry Falwell's old stomping ground. And then we have some makeshift liberals who haven't really officially announced their candidacy. And we have a philosophical divide in America still, after all these years, on what people think is right and wrong, whether to defend gay rights or shut them out. And do you guys think that this big election, like let's say we do elect a Christian conservative and who's going to be hardball towards gays, how is that going to affect situations like ISIS and our stance in Israel and stuff like that?
What a question. Faisal, you got to understand, gays, except for in Israel, are not accepted in most places worldwide. They're killed. So this is an American unique, relatively unique American issue. And, you know, this is something that we've got to work out and what they think is balderdash.
Yeah, I heard a story
about
these two gays in the Middle East and how they had to conceal their identity and pretend they were brothers or something, just so they could live together.
Muslims can legally, pretty much, and under religious auspices, kill gay people in many of the third world, if you want to call it that, countries, Muslim countries. That's their right. That's their scripture. And it's not written specifically, but it's prefer.
Just like in a lot of countries, a husband can go home and, you know,
right.
beat the snot out of his wife, and basically, as long as he doesn't commit adultery, he's in the clear. You know, they're not going to really
right.
do a lot about it. Interesting thing, I was thinking about this today, and now, of course, this is an American thing, as Don alluded to. I think what we're struggling with in this country is this concept between having a society and making rule or laws that favor the society we want as compared to personal choices or moral preferences. I'll give you an example. Like, I really don't care if someone's gay. I don't care if you have sex with animals. I don't care if you want to just have sex with balloons. Blow up some balloons and have, you know, whatever you want to do, do your thing.
Wow.
You know, I mean, on a personal level.
Aren't they called condoms nowadays?
Well, there's actually a group of people that obsess about balloons. I mean, you go on the internet, this is their thing. I mean, it's like their best friend. They sit
right.
and they touch the balloons, they hold the balloons. I mean, I saw a special on it.
Oh, God.
I kid you not. So I'm not.
I don't
want
to go from Jerry Falwell to porn.
Right, but here's the point of what I'm trying to make is, I really don't care what people do in their personal life. Do your thing, be your thing. But now when there's a point for me as a citizen, some rules that favor the kind of society I want. Guess what? I want a society where men and women get together and have kids. That's what happens when men and women get together. We have kids.
That's
and they raise those kids
right.
with certain values, a family and a culture and relatives and uncles and, you know, aunts and the whole thing. And it's beautiful. And I'm going to vote for laws that encourage that. And I'm not going to vote for laws that encourage something that tears down that structure, that's counter to that. And I also don't want rules or laws forcing me to say I have to cater to that. Like, maybe you like chocolate. That's cool, but now don't give me laws where I have to serve chocolate to everyone that comes in. I have to tell everyone chocolate is good, and if or not, I'm a bad person. I mean, that's the problem I run into. It's like you know, if you think your sexual
Koch
preferences.
Don,
if you had a bakery in Indiana, what would you serve?
Oh, I would serve anybody. My goodness.
Yes.
That's because they are humans. And it's not like they're, you know, a faction or an alien or anything like that. They're human beings. They deserve the right to be, if you're in a business, they deserve the right to be served. If they, you know, if they're not pulling a gun, robbing you and completely being vandalous or, you know.
Or coming without your shirt, your shoes, or bad B.O.
I work at a store, so I see all of that. So the bottom line is that, they should have served them like if they are in business. That those are discriminatory practices, and that's why they've got to seek laws to adjudicate it. You know,
and they should. They should have the. Anyone should have the right to be served and to have the thing. But on the other hand, if you want to pass a law where I have to have a special section, I have to cater special prices. I have to put signs and hand out people saying we encourage you to please have a certain sexual preference, and
right.
or that's something like that. Then I go no.
You know what I was thinking. Mm-hmm. Anyone who buys a gay wedding cake, it's not going to change those. That gay couple's attitude, whether they make them the cake or not. But I was thinking they could get a rainbow sticker that says gay friendly, and people who want to serve gays could put them in their window. That way gays don't have to worry about going to places where they're going to be rejected.
Well, here's some of the conflict comes in.
Damn, that sounds like the Black America back in the 40s and 50s. Give me a break.
But here's a question is that, you know, things tend to flip. Like, example, and I've talked to this in our church with different people. It's like the next step in the evolution of this goes into someone wants to be pastor of the church, and we have a certain moral code, and they're gay. And so, or they're even transgender. It's like, well, we don't want that. And then they'll go, well, you're discriminating and you're racist. And in fact, I'm going to sue you to put you out of business, pull your tax exempt, you know, status. It's like, it's the demanding of forcing someone's ideology into a situation that is counter to that, and you know,
That's what the president does. That's what the president does with the IRS. That's what the Scientologists do with their people in the security and their everything. They're just a brainwashing, group, and that's their function, to brainwash for them. The worst offenders of all is the Catholic Church. It is. I graduated from a Catholic university. There's some things on the inside that you see that you know no one wants to really. If they knew, these people are still out to lunch who worship it.
Mm-hmm.
That they really don't see what's in front of them, and there are huge hypocrisies. The biggest one being the homosexual one, where the Catholics think of it as a sin, abomination, whatever you want to call it, and yet they are rift. It's prolific and profound, and
the Catholic Church is really, except for that new pope, they're very. Did you guys know the Catholic Church doesn't even believe in contraceptives?
Yes.
They don't believe in contraceptives. The Lutheran Church allows gay ministers. I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but the Catholic Church is really backwards. And I'm not saying it's okay to have an abortion either, but, it's just a black and white yes or no. It's been the same for 50 to 70 years. Unfortunately.
What the heck? You mean 1,500 years?
No, well, abortion hasn't really been a big issue since 1973, except for 1973 forward. But the Pope said that if a gay person comes to church and they want to learn about God and they're... they're in a frame of mind where they're humble. Who is he to turn them away? That's what the Pope Francis said.
Yeah, but Pope Francis is going against 1,500 years of Catholic doctrine. I mean, some of the things that he's saying, you know, the church has a $25 million embezzlement case going against, and they have another one that's... $15 million something improper.
Well, they're never going to go broke. I support the Catholics because they feed the poor.
They've stolen enough money to put Gates and Murdoch and out of business.
Did you know that the Catholic Church owns
a crap load?
They own so much land even in America.
Oh yeah, they're very powerful and they get you raise a kid Catholic and they're having lots of kids, and as they establish business, once you get the kid grown up, they're Catholic for life. It doesn't matter what the logic is, right or wrong. But I kind of take this view towards it, and that is, there's a lot of things I don't agree with Scientology, don't agree with Jehovah's Witnesses or Mormons, in a lot of key scriptural points. But I take this view, and that is, they're going to have their inconsistencies with what I believe, but they have the right to believe that. Just like, you want to have an atheist group, have an atheist club. But don't put rules where, a born-again Christian wants to be in the atheist group and they won't let him in there. It's like, no, he shouldn't be in there. You have a senior society and you want to bring in a bunch of families with little kids. It's like, these little seniors want to get together and have their little club. Let them have their club. Oh, well,
but that's
because,
what the laws are about, John. Laws, uh-huh. Laws are delineating C4s, 5Cs, XWs, NPs. You've got every law including all of these different ideas and concepts that you just are mentioning.
Right, but people are trying to cross them. Like, okay, example, women's sports. You get transgender guys going in there playing sports, and pretty soon a guy starts saying, how come I can't be on the women's soccer team? It's like, you're discriminating by the basis of my sex. Well, because if you let all the guys on the team, there might be one or two women on the soccer team. They'll all be guys. It's like, is that discriminatory? It's like, yeah, it is. And I don't want guys on the women's soccer team.
Right now here in Nevada, we are going to start. We've got a law. We're in session right now, as you may know.
Uh-huh.
But we've got a law that we're looking at that will involve a P-test to determine the percentage of DNA required to make new facilities inclusive in sports and athletics.
Wow.
Minnesota has a something on its table, too, the Minnesota Athlete Association, or is connected somehow with the state, that they're figuring out ways for transgender people, how are they going to join a sport.
Exactly. That's exactly what we've got. But you've got to, remember that religion is the big swayer. Race is the biggest worldwide problem, I'll call it that. But religion is where every weak person is able to hide behind. One knows that there is a spirit that is greater than us. It's instinctual. But in order for us to survive socially, we feel as a people that these like-minded people are in our best interest to have our families around, develop our government, et cetera. But it's impossible to do so. What I'm looking to make sure that we do is move forward with with agendas that are as inclusive as they can possibly be without being too overly unjust. And that doesn't necessarily mean a monetary shift, an extreme monetary shift, just in the way that those who are able and want to work can work right now in this time of history, the way that our government and economies are set up. So,
wow.
Yeah, we could end up with,
instead of bisexual people, trisexual people.
No, they're going to be asexual sometime soon. With the chemicals, and I'm a health fan, the chemicals and poisons that are going into our bodies, we're morphing all the time into not either having to need sex for regeneration, but as potential asexual people who can generate those. Men are becoming women because they're losing their testosterone levels and they're getting higher estrogen, and women are vice versa.
Certainly
I have a trivia question for you guys. You can finish your little talk and then I'll ask.
Okay. Well, I was going to say, certainly the technology is growing and evolving, and I guess kind of I'm a purist in the sense of I like to keep things as close as to old school as I possible. And I understand, well, John, then, what are you doing with the cell phone? Why are you using a car? Why are you on and on and on? I understand that. I have digital. I have cable. I have all that kind of stuff. I have a satellite dish. But I still, only because I'm forced to keep up with society or otherwise live on an island somewhere. So the point is I like keeping things as simple as I can and as basic as I can. And at least up till now, we eat, sleep, poop, and have sex, and just the way we did, 5,000 years ago, 10,000 years ago. And I'm pretty cool with it. It's a pretty good program, worked for my folks. Now, I know the next generation coming up is they're going to be splitting hairs. They're going to be trying head transplants, and they're going to try to come up with super cyborg humans that aren't normal to what we as we know it. So it's a brave new world. I probably won't be around for it, or I'll be in a convalescent hospital not remembering what's happening. But I was going to say to point earlier, if we want to take down ISIS and these other people, just give them free food, free fast food and cable. Because if the food doesn't kill them off, the loose morals and promiscuity will destroy their culture. I think that's the only way to take them out.
And that's exactly why they're killing basically Westerners and white people.
To try to keep us out, yes.
They try to keep you out. That's why the women have to wear their shawls and veils. That's why, you know, there are a lot
of
things.
You think we're too far gone?
Well, you know, to a degree, they're right.
Islamic
we're decadent.
Extremists. Sorry.
Well, yeah, you saw where by 2070, Muslim will be the number one worldwide religion. So
they're growing faster than the United States, but I mean they're growing faster than Christianity. Christianity is losing members.
That's what I said. But remember, but the one thing that to try to remember here is that the Muslims and Baptists, in a lot of ways, except for the different verbiage, their precepts are a lot alike. So what's the problem with the Baptist night enjoying or joining membership with Baptists? I'm not getting it. Baptists and Muslims, they you know, believe in
I was a Baptist for 25 years. So
I've never known Baptists to behead people and post it on YouTube. I think that is a major difference. But I kind of agree with. As far as I understand, fundamentally where the Muslims are coming from, we are decadent. You watch a Carl's commercial, right? And it's like what's the difference between that and a girl with a stripper pole? I'm a rocker and I'm pretty liberal about stuff. But I'm sitting there going, dang, you know, that's a lot of heat for mainstream TV, and we look at it like it's just another day in the park. They got women covered up. They haven't even seen body parts that we flash everywhere. So this is their natural response, is kill them all. And I don't mind the part that they say keep it out of our society. I just mind the part where it's like, okay, you got to behead people. It's like, just, you know, send us away and go to separate corners and don't talk to each other.
And they also kill their own.
But then those people come back. Right. The
third largest landowner in the world is the Catholic Church. They own 177 million acres. Who do you guys think number one in?
They've got 177.
Who's number one and two?
Stolen acres. You forgot that.
I would say McDonald's.
King Abdul II and Queen Elizabeth. Technically owns Great Britain, Northern Ireland, Canada, Australia, and the Falkland Islands. She owns 6.6 billion acres.
Well, I would have thought that she owned more land than the Catholic Church.
She does. She's number one.
Oh, okay.
Catholic Church is third.
I didn't hear that. Sorry.
Wow.
Well, the Catholic Church, you keep forgetting, that's all stolen property. The Vatican, they just went in there and said, this is our land. See you guys, see you Italians, you don't make any difference to me. You know, they went down to South America and just ripped that place apart.
A lot of faithful people want them to own it.
What, who, the Catholic Church?
Well, there's a lot of faithful believers who give tithes.
I don't think they meant it at the time when they were trying to work in the mines, and the Catholics came over down in Chile and Peru and Bolivia, and they made them work harder for longer. That's not my idea of having fun.
No, the priest said he'd have none of that. I don't know. But I think overall...
You guys, we're in our 10 minutes overtime now. So let's start wrapping it up. I want to go to bed.
Okay, well, with whom? But anyway...
I'm going to go to bed with my Pope on a rope.
Pope on a rope, hey.
I'm taking my bath with my Pope on a rope, and then I'm going to bed with my stuffed Vatican.
Well, it sounds like there's a lot of hope over there. There's a lot of faith that's going to be going on there for the drought. But No, what would you like to wrap it up on? Because we've gone on three subjects.
Guess who most Catholics go to bed with? Rosary.
Rosary.
Oh. Get it?
Uh-huh.
Okay, I hope no one listens to the last 10 minutes of this show because
I know you're
going to
be on a hit list, Jane, if you keep it going. But I would say, with any of these religions, any of these groups, they have the right to be who they are, with their inconsistencies and some with the good stuff and the bad stuff. It's consistent with everything of every political machine. On paper, it all sounds good until you get to the reality and you add human corruption, human greed. You know, it's not so much the vehicle, it's just human nature when you put it into the institutions. I just think that as long as each group is given their space and functions peacefully, and when they start stepping over bounds, and same thing with, we have this thing of separation of church and state. I'm fine with that. It's the elimination of church and state. It's like, it's this hounding of like, let's get everything that's relates to God out of society. That's where I start running into issues. It's like we promote a lot of stuff in our schools, and when it comes to Christmas, don't mention Christmas. It's Christ Mass, but don't mention it. Don't call it that. Easter, we can't call that. Call it, you know, spring break. It's the elimination of church from state that I kind of question.
Yeah, people are so paranoid in America.
Well, that's because they're guilty. If they're guilty, they have Americans, and you know, I'm not talking about virtually the minority Americans. The Americans, white people, are extremely guilty. And they feel it in their bones and their souls, and they know it. They know they've done wrong. They don't have an opportunity to turn back. You know, in some ways, they won't until their elders are pretty much dead. And, you know, I mean, it's a guilt that nobody really wants to forget, but they don't want to remember. And so it's a conundrum that the whites are really they're getting their back put against the wall, and that's why they're arming themselves, they're preparing themselves with their bunkers and their food preparation, and they're getting ready for the wars. They're no longer able to.
The other half of white society is also marrying into minorities and blacks and mixing.
Yeah.
And so it's in the end, we're all going to be kind of, you know. Now, here's a question. I think you'd raise this how, you know, that we all came from African-American, I believe, or from. The question I'm wondering is it so, or is it more that there's a lot of different cultures and what's the oldest, you know, on record? Is black, and
right.
in other words, it's like a can is made out of metal, a car is made out of metal, hence the car came from the can, not necessarily, but same manufacturer, you know, made both of them. But I think we're coming to a point where we're all brothers and sisters, and we're all going to eventually kind of blend in together, you know, over a period of time.
Well, that's the metamorphosis of the can. The can then becomes, at one time it's steel, then it becomes aluminum. So the car is going to be aluminum, and the person is going to be multicultural. And I mean, whites here, it's so, so sad, but they won't even admit that they're multicultural.
I'm white.
Yeah, but you've
but
got something.
Speaking
you're,
of.
You're right between different whites.
And you have Lolo.
That's true. Speaking of the power of the Catholic Church, my desktop just went, all the windows shut down, and the only thing left is the picture that I saved, and all my icons are missing, so somebody
I hope at least it's my picture.
It's Dawson's Creek. The characters from Dawson's Creek is
my
desktop
God.
Save.
I was going to say, if it had Don's face on it, it would be a black screen, but it wouldn't really be.
But Don, there is a small picture of you on my desktop because I saved it to blend you into our radio show. Have you ever looked at our webpage?
I have not. I saw your text that you sent, but I didn't, the picture that you sent.
Don's a very busy man. He doesn't even have, he has to make an appointment to meet himself, and half the time he can't even make that.
That's
busy.
That's almost true. That's almost true, unfortunately. I can't
wait
till June.
You guys, what I'm going to say, we might be cut off because I can't see the show, but why don't we end it with Don, you briefly telling us who you testified to this week about Common Core.
Oh, okay. Well, I was able to be one of the presenter, citizen presenters of our AB303, which is Stop Common Core in its tracks. We've got a lot of that. I'm a true blue, and we've got a lot of red working with us to try to stop the implementation of a program that is going to kill all of our kids, and I believe mentally dead vegetables, carpal tunnel, vision problems, back problems by the age of 12 because of constant use of the computers. Anyway, we presented our anti-Common Core legislation to the legislature, and I was able to put my two cents on with some of the esteemed authority, and that was quite an experience in front of both houses of the legislature, the Senate and the Assembly. So that's something that was it was fun. It was a
joke. Thanks, Don. Yep. And AB303 means the number of the state legislative bill. In case people didn't know.
Correct. Sorry.
John, what's your Easter summary for the day? Because we have to get going.
Well, I think just in listening to Don talk for a moment there, it's not, it's not what you know, it's who you know. And it's really cool that we have someone that's connected and sees a lot of stuff come through the pike that is relevant and is challenging to what we face every day. So I just think it's follow the truth wherever it leads you, especially if you have an inside source, I think knowledge is power. So, don't be afraid of the truth.
Right, and don't be afraid to get involved either, because that is where your knowledge comes from. But also, Stop Common Core. This is a federal government educational system that is not within our Constitution. It's not in our realm of the federal government.
My final thoughts are be blessed. It's Easter. I had a Lamentations 2:13-17 up, but I can't read it because a gremlin took my computer over. So I'm just going to read 1 Peter 2:21-23. Christ committed no sin and no deceit was found in his mouth. When he was abused, he did not return abuse. When he suffered, he did not threaten. And blessed be the God that it's Easter and we survived another Easter, and I hope his return is soon because the world is suffering.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the way it's not. So however we can change to be more like those words, then I'm all for it. But right now we're the opposite of what you just.
Okay, well, the world is suffering. Maybe they're not all aware of the spiritual carnage and spiritual conflict, but as a Christian, I'm aware, and I'm also aware that this gremlin's overtaking the show. So would you like to end the show now?
Yeah, well, you know that Muslims believe that the struggle leads to understanding, leads to sacrifice, leads to necessity to change, leading to a spiritual heaven. So that's one of the ways that they believe suffering is. It's a good thing. I'm trying to look at it from the other side, because if you just look at it one-sided, then you go into it upset, angry, and anybody who's a trained expert will tell you, when you go into something angry or upset, your eyes are closed, your mind is closed, your third eye is closed, and you can't see, but the danger is in front of you. So these are, that's why I mentioned that, you know, the suffering is a good thing in their minds, and we're the ones with the Western minds who have to get over that in a guerrilla war that we are presently getting ready to fight.
Very good point. Very good point.
Well, thank you all for joining us, and may John conquer the tax system.
Yes.
May Don conquer Nevada. And next time we can talk about Harry Reid, because he was in the news today for somehow bribing one of the Nevada newspapers into not running a story. And Jane has nothing to say.
I was shocked to hear Harry was stepping down. I just, you know, I expected him to live in, I mean, to be in the system for the next 100 years.
There's a reason. He has a lot of irons in the fire. Well, that's the only one part. The main part is that he's got a lot of skeletons in the closet, a lot. And it's kind of like Joe Paterno. It was very fortunate for him to die, because his closet was probably full of young men's jock straps or whatever. So the bottom line is that Harry, even though he's very, very strong, he wanted to get out so that he either doesn't have
too hot.
Or
he also got severely injured in January, falling off of a piece of exercise equipment.
But believe me, Harry, so listen to yourself. Harry exercises. The man is like 77 years old or even older than that. 77 years old. His next term would have been 81. He's done it all. He, at this transitory time in politics, the Republicans are going to, and I'm looking at it firsthand, they're going to burn their wealth, and they're not going to be happy trying to leave. So the bottom line is that Harry is getting out when we as a Democratic base here in Nevada, can find a new Democrat who's going to take us into 2020. So he figured it's better off that we do it now, where the Republicans are in such disarray that we have an opportunity to really make headway into our vetting systems for our politicians.
You guys, my computer's shutting down now. I apologize, and thank you for joining me on this Easter Sunday. May God bless you.
God bless you. Talk to you later.
Good night.
Blessings and Godspeed, and good luck to Harry. Maybe he didn't fall off. Maybe someone pushed him off the machine.
Hey, that's been bandied around.
My machine said it's going to shut down in a minute, so I'll try to end it here then. Thank you. Okay, good night.
Thank you very much, Dave.
Good night.
Good night and Godspeed.